Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. I'm Doris Hansen, your host, and tonight's focus is going to be on the trial of Warren Jeffs. And as most everyone would know, Jeffs is the leader of the FLDS polygamy group, and this past Tuesday he was sentenced for sexually assaulting two underage girls that he had taken as his spiritual brides. He received the maximum sentence for his crime, which is life in prison plus 20 years, which means he won't be eligible for parole until he's 100 years old. The jury had deliberated for about 40 minutes. Now, our original plan for tonight's show was a review of the Reed-Smoot hearings during the early 20th century with Kay Brown as our guest for that discussion. The Smoot hearings effectively placed the Mormon Church on trial. They were being scrutinized by the United States Senate for their illegal polygamist activities and practices after the 1890 Manifesto, when they had promised not to practice polygamy anymore. But we would be remiss if we did not instead tonight focus on the recent events of the Warren Jeffs trial. Consequently, we are going to move up our discussion of the Smoot hearings to December 1st. So on December 1st, we will do the review of the Smoot hearings. And much to our delight, Kay Brown has still agreed to be our guest tonight, even though we changed the subject matter on very short notice. So together, we are going to review this last courtroom drama and review the crimes of Warren Jeffs, the 21st century version of the 19th century Joseph Smith. So we introduce Kay Brown again. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It's always good to be here with you.
It's so always great to have you here.
Thanks.
You're a delightful guest, and everyone loves to when you come again.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So we've got a lot to talk about, and we want to get through as much as we can and all of it if we can. So we're going to move through pretty quickly. But before we begin, we want to caution our viewers who have young children that may be watching. Some of tonight's content may not be suitable for young children to watch. So use your discretion in allowing them to listen to our show this evening. And we have a 4-minute YouTube interview by which we would like to launch tonight's discussion. We think that you'll find this interview extremely interesting. We found it on the internet at youtube.com. So let's watch this YouTube segment entitled Tom Hartman, Mormons, Polygamy, Sex Tapes, and Pedophiles.
Tenets of his church. So what is it exactly that motivates Jeffs and other polygamous Mormons? And what could this trial mean for their community? Here to offer some insight is Sanjeev Bhattacharya, writer and U.S. correspondent for Esquire UK and the author of the book Secrets and Wives, The Hidden World of Mormon Polygamy. Sanjeev, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us from our Los Angeles studio. More than a week in, what do you make of this trial so far?
Well, you know, today was kind of disturbing with the sex tape, but you know, I've got to say, Warren Jeffs has been pretty high quality entertainment for about the last 8 years, and it looks like he's building up to a grand finale. You know, what we're seeing at the moment in the courtroom is precisely the kind of religious lunacy that he was exhibiting back in 2003 when he was banning everything under the sun. You know, music, books, everything. He even banned laughter because he said that the spirit of God would leak out of you if you laughed. That was one of his high points. But you know, we shouldn't be too surprised, I don't think, that he is quite this deranged, firing his legal team and reading out a letter that he said was written by God and threatening everybody with sickness and death and that sort of thing. Because after all, he is a prophet. That's his day job. and this is kind of what prophets do.
So he sort
it's in the job description.
He sees himself as Isaiah, or probably Jeremiah actually would be his role model. What makes people like Warren Jeffs tick, and how frequently are Mormon polygamists also pedophiles like Jeffs?
Well, the thing about Mormon polygamy is that it's not one of the things that Jeff said in his kind of long rambling defense. I think it was a 55-minute speech. From what I've heard, he had about 10 minutes of good material and he kind of dragged it out. But he did say that this isn't a fly-by-night culture. This doctrine is kind of here to stay. And on that front, I have to agree with him. I mean, Mormonism is strong potion. It's been very resilient. Fundamentalism has existed outside of the law in this country now for over 100 years. Now, that's something to conjure with. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Dogma is very powerful. But I think one of the things that's been missed in this, and I think you pointed it out, is that the perception of polygamy is getting pulled in both directions at this point. On the one hand, you've got deranged sex criminals like Warren Jeffs, and on the other hand, you've got an attempt to decriminalize polygamy by this kind of reality TV show family who are essentially a marketing vehicle, or they may as well be, for the fundamentalist lobby. So we're getting, which one's the real polygamy? Is it sister wives or is it Warren Jeffs?
Right.
And
okay, very interesting comments that these two made, and we're going to talk a little bit about that before we get into the rest of our show. And so Mr. Hartman had made the comment of Mormon polygamy when he first began this segment, and he wasn't real clear about his statement, Mormon polygamy, which of course causes viewers to think that mainline Mormons, if they didn't know any better, was practicing polygamy, which they don't, not at least most of them.
Right.
But this, of course, sends the mainline church and the members of the church in a huge fuss, that they would say this. Mm-hmm. But the polygamy that Mormon Jeffs practices is Mormon fundamentalist polygamy. And Hartman correctly identified it as Mormon polygamy because it's not Muslim polygamy,
right,
and it's not biblical polygamy, and it's not African polygamy. It's Mormon based.
It started with Joseph Smith.
Right. It's their practice and it's their dogma. They all have different dogmas, and it is Mormon polygamy. So I think he was rather bold to state, without concern of political correctness, that it was Mormon-based polygamy.
Correct. Yep. I totally agree with that.
There's always so much pressure through the media not to, the Mormon church doesn't do this anymore and all that, but it still is.
Well, it's the principle. Mormon. It's still in the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 132, for the mainstream church, even though they claim it will be practiced in the hereafter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hartman also indicated that Warren Jeffs called it marriage, but the law calls it rape. Mm. And I liked the way that he delineated that, characterized that. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's not even real marriage, since polygamy is illegal both in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of God.
Right.
So it's not even really marriage at all.
No, it can't be called marriage according to God and the law. So.
Right, right. Now, he mentioned the 20-minute tape that, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in tonight's program too, but the 20-minute tape recording where Warren Jeffs was having his sexual act with this 12-year-old girl. And at the end of the act, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And then the 12-year-old girl responded, "Amen also."
I know, that's just born of a sick mind. Combining religion and God with something so atrocious.
Isn't that awful? To do crimes like this in the name of Jesus Christ is particularly reprehensible.
Which just goes to show you can't assign the name Jesus Christ to just anything and believe that he has anything whatsoever to do with it.
Right, doing anything in the name of Jesus doesn't make it right.
Exactly, and I think that he did that to try to bring some credibility to himself as a prophet, maybe look a little better in their eyes.
In the 12-year-old's eyes, and there were more around there too at the time, was we too.
Yeah.
Now, I have a photo of a bed that was found in the temple, and we're going to show that on the screen as we talk here. The rape of the 12-year-old girl took place inside the YFC temple on this particular ceremonial bed, and it was here that the prosecutors argued that Warren Jeffs raped his 12-year-old victim in full view of others who not only watched but participated.
Oh, that's just sick.
Isn't that awful? That's the ceremonial bed that they had found. And Warren Jeffs made the remark during the trial, but I think he made the remark about 2004. He said, "If the world knew what I was doing, they would hang me from the highest tree."
Well, that just shows he knew what he was doing was wrong, that it was against the law.
Obviously, he knew it was wrong, and he still
kept
doing it.
He condemned himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we can't say that he was too deranged to know what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And then was it Hartman who said that Jeffs sermonized during the trial, justifying his polygamy. Sermonized, and this is God's work, and you can't interrupt God's work. Again, like you mentioned,
there's just arrogance with power like that, and he just thinks he can control everything. He was so used to having been controlling all of his group for such a long time, and you know, I'm sure that power just gets ingrained
and
to their
no
minds.
One challenged him.
And
no,
yeah, well, they're afraid him. To, you know, they've got the blood atonement.
The FLDS threatened that quite a bit. And I love Sanjeev's comment that he said Warren Jeffs' day job was profit, kind of alluding to what his night job might be, you know. And yet I wonder why Hartman, the commentator, said that he was more like the prophet Jeremiah. You know, I don't understand that assumption, because Jeremiah was a prophet with no false prophecies, and Warren Jeffs didn't have any true ones, I don't think. Jeremiah wasn't a polygamist.
No.
Jeremiah loved God.
I think what he was thinking when I heard that, I thought he probably feels like that Warren Jeffs compares himself to him more than maybe anyone else would see him
as.
No, I never had, and I wondered about that. But I did take it that maybe he was saying that Warren Jeffs thinks that.
It'd be interesting to know what he meant by that.
Would be
well,
Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah pronounced judgment against the Israelites for doing the very things that Warren Jeffs. And even Joseph Smith did.
Yeah.
You know, like taking other men's wives. Mm-hmm. You can find that in Jeremiah, and that's what Joseph Smith did. And then Sanjeev made the remark that Jeff's religion is lunacy.
Well, it is lunacy. I mean, when you think about it, they have to live polygamy, which they know is against the law, yet they're supposed to live the law. It's just, there's so much confusion and double talk in Mormonism. That I mean, I could see how people could become completely mentally deranged. I think they can pretty easily with all of that confusion and.
Well, there's a lot of confusion, and his religion is lunacy when you compare it with the true Bible, you know. But the polygamists do tread on dangerous ground when they say the Lord says when He doesn't say, and that is spiritual lunacy. In fact, I think it's spiritual ignorance and spiritual. Suicide.
And blasphemy. Against the Lord, yep.
And Sanjeev said that Jeffs said that this isn't a fly-by-night culture, that polygamy is here to stay. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and I came up with something that it just came to me. It's like a barbed hook. If any of you are, you know, ever go fishing, you know what a barbed hook is like. It's pretty difficult to get out. And in order to remove it, it's going to be painful, and it's going to do some damage. But what I find, you know, as I was thinking this through, is that society and the United States government and law is supposed to change so that they can continue in their sin and their slavery of women and children.
Yeah, they want the law to change to suit them rather than living under the law.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I see here, is that they want that to change and not themselves. And you know what? How long are we going to put up with that as a society and as a country and, you know, as a state?
That's a good question. And thanks to Joseph Smith, polygamy probably is here to stay in some form or another. And, you know, mankind is sinful. What Jesus said is true. The blind lead the blind. And that's what's going on in the with the polygamists.
Well, if they decriminalize it, then we really truly are, in a sense, bringing back slavery, because this is definitely a form of slavery.
It definitely is.
And so,
absolutely.
That would be very wrong.
And I believe, however, that if even if polygamy is here to stay in one form or another, I believe that if all polygamists everywhere really understood God's love and really knew and understood that God's original plan, and a non-changing plan for marriage, was monogamy, that they'd all reject polygamy and run away from it as fast as they could.
I believe that's the case. I can't imagine anybody wanting Mormonism of works compared to the grace.
Yeah, the grace and the freedom in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then he said that polygamy, those in polygamy, has lived outside the law for over 100 years. Now, and when he said that, I thought, why didn't he ask why? Why has it been allowed to live outside the law for 10 years?
Well, I'm publicly asking that right now, because where is the law enforcement to stop this?
For the past 150 years, maybe,
yeah.
Even, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That's just boggles my mind.
Is the law enforcement weak?
I don't know if it's that, or if they have fear, or maybe, I know in the state of Utah, probably a lot of them are Mormon and don't understand the biblical sense of marriage as much as they could or should.
Mm-hmm. Or should, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a particular church who likes to keep secret things secret.
Mm-hmm.
Sanjiv said, and I really liked this, he said the perception of polygamy is being pulled in two different directions. He said one direction is the direction that the sister wives, which he correctly said is a marketing vehicle for polygamy. That's exactly what sister wives is. Mm-hmm. That's why they began that reality show, was to positively market polygamy to the public.
Yeah.
And then he said the other direction is being pulled in the direction of the derangement, like mm-hmm. Warren Jeffs. And I read a statement one time that says, polygamy makes good men bad and bad men worse.
Oh, I believe that's true, absolutely.
It attracts.
Yeah. What would they do if someone went on television and had a program that said, you know, we're thieves, join our group and we'll go out and rob?
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to
be off the air.
And then we're going to go to court and ask them to decriminalize it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, my comment on that would be, he's wondering which one will win in the end on the polygamy is being pulled out. But it isn't a matter of the better of two bad choices. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of what's the best choice. And that's the biblical choice.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 7:2, one man for one woman. Mm-hmm. That's the choice. So we do appreciate the opportunity to use that YouTube to begin our discussion tonight. Now, on August 7th, there was an article on the web, articles.boston.com, entitled The Mormon Arrival by James Carroll. And the subtitle said, though long distrusted, Joseph Smith's faith embodies American values. And we're hitting the ceiling on this one. American values?
Well, not the America I've grown up in. That's definitely not one of the values.
My question would be, what part of Joseph Smith's faith really truly embodies American values? He didn't even trust the Bible.
Right.
And so I'm going to ask some questions. Is polygamy an American value? Is polygamy an American value? Joseph Smith was guilty of counterfeiting American money. Is that an American value? Joseph Smith destroyed a printing press. Is that an American value? Joseph Smith, at 38 years old, married 14-year-old Helen Marr Kimball. Oh, shades of Warren Jeffs. That's an American value?
Two 14-year-olds.
Two 14-year-olds.
Not just one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And several teenage.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Smith approached the wives of some of his good friends and asked those wives to become his plural wives. Is that an American value? Joseph Smith advocated punishment by beheading. That's not an American value. In fact, I have a couple of quotes I would like to make on that. And this is what Joseph Smith said, and I quote, in a debate, George A. Smith said, imprisonment was better than hanging. I believe I was opposed to hanging, or I replied, I was opposed to hanging. Even if a man kill another, I will shoot him or cut off his head, spill his blood on the ground, and let the smoke thereof ascend up to God. And if ever I have the privilege of making a law on that subject, I will have it so. End quote. That was something Joseph Smith said. It's in History of the Church, Volume 5, page 296. Is that an American value? And then the early Mormons believed in beheading, and incorporated this into their laws in Utah. Another quote, in accordance with the law of Utah, the doomed man was given his choice of three methods of execution, hanging, shooting, or beheading. And that's in a Mormon Chronicle, mm-hmm. the Diaries of John D. Lee, page 19. American values? Joseph Smith's faith embodies American values. He was a necromancer and a false prophet.
You know, I think the confusion there is what goes out to the public in their public relations,
mm-hmm,
because
exactly.
everything is whitewashed and actually has a completely different meaning than what
exactly.
you think it is.
Absolutely.
And so there, that's why the public will buy into it, because maybe they don't have the materials to study it, but really, being American and wanting freedom and wanting to eradicate the things that's going to destroy our nation, like polygamy, and ruining of our society, you know what, folks, it's time to start doing your research on anything.
Well, it should, especially since the early Mormons had an oath of vengeance to destroy the United States because of Joseph Smith's death.
Yeah, they aren't just outside of the law. They were very rebellious against
mm-hmm.
the law.
And our viewers, by the way, you can check any of this out. All of this historical is a historical fact. You can check mm-hmm. it out. You can check out the other crimes that Joseph Smith was guilty of. And you can do that, of course, only if you have personal integrity and the desire to seek the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then from WTVR.com, there is some information about jurors who hear the polygamous leaders warn girls not to reject him. This is from Jim Forsyth from Reuters News, August 8, 2011. I'm going to quote part of the article. It says, Texas jurors heard polygamous leader Warren Jeffs warning underage girls in a tape that God would reject them if they refused to have sex with him. One juror broke down in tears as prosecutors played explicit audio recordings detailing his sexual involvement with multiple young girls at his group's West Texas ranch. In one tape, Jeffs is heard telling the girls they need to be excited. Jurors also heard him tell the girls that if they refused him in what he has dubbed the heavenly sessions, they would be rejected by God. Jeffs argued in loud outbursts that the Texas court was trampling on his religious rights by trying the case. Prosecutors also showed the jury several photographs of Warren Jeffs casually dressed in shorts, a t-shirt, and a cap with the beer logo on it. Talk about a double standard.
Yeah.
My goodness, it takes a new low, doesn't it? A new level of just... But you know, the Bible says that men will go from worse to worse. Evil men will continue to go from worse and worse. They're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And this mm-hmm. not only isn't fulfilled in Warren Jeffs, but also many of the practices of all the polygamy groups.
Unless they repent.
Unless they repent, turn to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the cleansing and the change of life.
Yep, that's right.
I love this one. At one point during the trial, Warren Jeffs introduced the Book of Mormon into evidence,
yeah.
saying that his religion sanctions and protects polygamous relationships.
That's especially a ridiculous statement because the Book of Mormon denounces concubines and
yeah.
polygamy and all of that kind of thing. So why he would use that one, I have no idea.
Maybe like many of them, they don't even know what their own Book of Mormon teaches.
Yeah.
It condemns. There's no explicit command in the Book of Mormon for polygamy, sanctioning it.
No, there is one little section that makes it ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I think it says something like unless the Lord brings it back, that's not exactly it. I'm paraphrasing.
If he wants to raise up seed,
it leaves
then he'll
a little
command
bit
his people.
Of,
yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
but it's ambiguous, yeah.
Very.
But the Book of Mormon doesn't sanction it. There's no promise of exaltation for living polygamy in the Book of Mormon. There's no promise for celestial marriage or no command for celestial marriage in the Book, or temple marriage. There's not even a temple in the Book of Mormon.
No.
You know? So if the Book of Mormon is the keystone of their religion, then how come their religion's not in the Book of Mormon?
You can't even find Mormonism in the...
No.
in the Book of Mormon, for sure.
Okay, so you're right. I don't know why I use the Book of Mormon as evidence. It's too bad the prosecutor didn't know the Book of Mormon. He could have bounced him on that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
The AUB, the Apostolic United Brethren, which is another polygamy group. And they have several thousand members in their group. Mm-hmm. And they denounced all this that's been going on with Warren Jeffs. And they called it despicable and unconscionable acts by Warren Jeffs. And I'm going to quote part of what they said. Mm-hmm. "We repudiate and denounce Warren Jeffs' inappropriate actions in linking his despicable and unconscionable acts to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to Joseph Smith Jr." And then it goes on to say, "Such acts and so-called ordinances are not and never have been condoned by the gospel as it was restored and established by Joseph Smith." Now, this is a partial quote from the Salt Lake mm-hmm. Tribune, August 4th of 2011. Mm-hmm. So, linking his actions to the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ is despicable. Mm-hmm. But Warren Jeffs' actions are a mirror of original early Mormon church practices. And Joseph Smith is as guilty of pedophilia as Warren Jeffs is.
Yes, he is, because of the underage, taking the underage girls. Mm-hmm. Just even the practice of polygamy, period.
And warning hell and damnation if they didn't do it.
That's like exactly right. Yeah, it's tyranny. And that's what makes it so awful. It's really a sad thing, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. that people don't know better about the damage that is done. You know, I've just barely started learning it since coming out of Mormonism about 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine someone having to live in polygamy, just the pain of the having to share your husband, the jealousies, it's a sin mm-hmm. that perpetuates sin and continues to do so in just about every human interaction. I can't even imagine.
Well, it isn't sanctioned by God in any sense mm-hmm. of the term. No. And you know, other polygamy groups joined in to denounce Warren Jeffs. And we would wish and certainly pray that this crisis in the FLDS would cause permanent changes for the good in the other polygamy groups. But even if they won't admit it, which they don't and they won't, all polygamy groups are guilty of abuse. Abuses of children, whether physically or sexually or both. Abuses of withholding all kinds of freedoms from their members. Mm-hmm. Abuses of power and authority over females. Abuses of the child bride practice, following directly and precisely in the Joseph Smith's footsteps. Mm-hmm. Abuses of incest and inbreeding to secure a so-called pure blood posterity, but instead produces awful birth defects. Abuses of bleeding the beast, costing the taxpayers millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Abuses of lying for the Lord, which he doesn't need anyone to lie for him. He doesn't lie for himself, and he doesn't need you to lie for him either. Abuses of property assimilation, abuses of money assimilation, and worst of all, polygamy group leadership fulfills the verses in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, and they say this: "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man." Don't they teach that God's a man?
Yes. He progressed to be God.
Then they teach he's a polygamous man?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that mm-hmm. those verses certainly fit in very clearly, very mm-hmm. good with this. And the worst abuse someone can do to someone else is to keep them from knowing the truth about salvation. And that's what it says mm-hmm. in this Romans, that they suppress the truth by their wickedness. Polygamy groups twist God's salvation plan into something that it isn't, and members grow up afraid to seek the truth outside of their polygamous environment, mm-hmm. and they live and die believing in a spiritual myth.
Exactly. costing them their salvation.
This entire
unless
culture.
God has some mercy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. unless they find the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And this entire culture, both Mormon and polygamous, are trusting in a myth, in myths, for their salvation.
I know, it's heart-wrenching. I worry about it every day. I mean, that's why I would be willing to, you know, come on television and have something to say about it yeah. and write a book, you mm-hmm. know, about my experiences and coming out of Mormonism and being raised as a Mormon. And it's really tragic, but praise God. He's trying to gather as many in as will believe.
That's exactly right. And you did write a book. Do you want to mention that to the viewing audience right now?
It's called Born Again Truths, Out of the Bondage of Mormonism and Into the Gospel of the Biblical Jesus Christ. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it just had I just did a revision. It's ready to order. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to order the book, it's very good. Of course, we reviewed the book with Kay on a couple of shows mm-hmm. recently, so you can also find that on our website. You know, all polygamy groups know that they are or have been guilty of crimes like Warren Jeffs, and maybe that's one reason they're so secretive.
Yes.
During the sentencing phase, a nephew of Warren Jeffs, Brent Jeffs, told the jury that Warren Jeffs had abused him when he was just a young child, and he tells his story in his book. Entitled Lost Boys. In fact, Brent Jeffs was a guest on our show December 10th of 2009. And you can go back into our archives and watch that show, that interview with Brent Jeffs on whatloveisthis.tv. Go to the 2009 and December 10th, we did interview him on the show. But Warren Jeffs also raped other young boys and girls, as we know.
Did he also rape his son? I read something about that, but I can't confirm it for sure.
His sisters, I know he said mm-hmm. sisters, mm-hmm. But I don't know the son part. Okay. But Warren Jeffs somewhere has close to 80 wives. Mm-hmm. 24 of them are under the age of 17. But we've said this before, Jeffs is merely walking in the footsteps of Joseph Smith, the founder of his religion. Joseph Smith took 34 wives, six of them were mm-hmm. 17 and under, like you already mentioned.
Yeah.
And 11 of them were women married to living husbands.
Right. And there was so much secrecy. Mormonism is secrecy. Everything has to be kept secret. I mean, if polygamy were to be mentioned that they were living it, they would be in trouble with the laws of the land. And so we don't know of the abuses other than the underage wives that Joseph Smith took. But... Mm-hmm. We can see from our culture today that it breeds these things, you know, incest and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and abuses of all kinds. Mm-hmm. And so we can't know.
That's right.
What
we
took
can't.
Place in all of those situations.
And of course, I've read a lot of history on what took place in early Mormon. There's a lot of abuse going on at that mm-hmm. time as well. And I've talked to several people I know of from my own experience from growing and being raised in a polygamy. There are abuses going on in these groups all the time mm-hmm. that people won't come out and talk about.
Yeah.
They just won't do it. So, you know, Section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Still has polygamy in it. Still says you're going to be damned if you don't live it. Joseph Smith said it. Warren Jeff said it. All the polygamy groups say it.
That's right.
It's still there. That's what it teaches. We do have, and we haven't even opened the phone lines yet, and here we are with phone calls. But there's before we take any phone calls, we still got a little bit to do here. But off the air question, it says, in your opinion regarding why Utah did not prosecute Jeffs, does it seem like the LDS mainstream church is protecting him? No, I can't imagine that would be the truth.
I think what's happening is maybe they're not protecting him, but they are distancing themselves from him, and that's one of their PR maneuvers mm-hmm. is to distance themselves from the you know, these factions like the FLDS mm-hmm. so that the world doesn't know that the mainstream teaches polygamy too,
mm-hmm.
even though they claim they're not living it right now.
They're not living it physically, But they still have it in their Doctrine and Covenants, and they still have the temple ceilings to multiple wives.
Yes, they do.
For eternity. So indeed, we don't think that the Mormon Church is protecting him, but they just want, it's a hands-off, it's a hot potato. They don't want to deal with it. I would like to mention at this point that the Utah County Ex-Mormon Support Group meets next Tuesday on August 16th at 6 p.m., and they're going to be showing the DNA versus the Book of Mormon DVD. If you're interested, you can call 801-374-8489 or email way61@hotmail.com. And I, again, will say we heartily advise anyone who's leaving the LDS Church or a polygamy group situation to get a support group behind you. Get with a support group. It's very, very helpful as you make your transition. And our ministry also has a support group. We meet once a month, and our next meeting is August 29th. That's a Monday night at 6:30. And if you want more information, you can email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And we would love to talk to you. There was a concern by a lady. She wrote to the Standard Examiner on August 8th about polygamy, and she said, "I have been writing to Congress and the White House to get someone, anyone, to expose the truth about the polygamous sex." Mm. She says, "I am aware that the LDS Church does not want to get involved, but is there anyone there with some moral fiber? Not only are the children abused, they are also bleeding the beast, us the taxpayers, as part of their religion. What about our state's welfare money? Why should they get government money for polygamy? I need some financial help too. Should I also commit fraud against the state of Utah in the name of God? Do not wimp out. Contact lawmakers and enforcers to do what needs to be done. Break it up. Tear it down and quit funding it through my taxes." Now, this lady is in Ogden. She wrote this. If you have that same feeling, if that's your heart, write, do what she did. Write to your legislators, to Congress. She wrote to the White House. Now, whether that's any, you know, whether it gets to the president or not, we don't know. But
I think it's really critical right now at this point to do that, to contact all of those in the government here in Utah because of the lawsuit that they're trying to decriminalize polygamy. Mm-hmm. The state isn't, per se.
No, it was the federal lawsuit that they filed, that Cody Brown filed to decriminalize polygamy.
In Utah.
Mm-hmm. In Utah.
So
exactly.
So
right.
We need to make sure that everyone knows.
And we're American citizens with American values. And we have that right as citizens speak our mind about those who are breaking the law and what they're doing with that. Right now, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to show an informational film clip about our ministry, and we will be back after the clip to take some phone calls.
You are watching Polygamy, What Love Is This? Broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. This program is the broadcast outreach of a Shield and Refuge ministry. Shield and Refuge is a point of first contact for Mormon fundamentalists who question the doctrines of the religion or who are actively seeking for an opportunity to escape the polygamist lifestyle. Examining the claims of fundamentalist doctrine against the backdrop of biblical truth is central to our efforts. We invite you to contact us. Call toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. You are welcome to join us in our monthly support group, Life After Polygamy, where you can meet others like yourself who are searching for answers about polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism. We meet monthly in the Salt Lake City area. For more details about time and place, call us toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We want you to know that we have made available to you some outstanding resources free of charge. You will find them at our website, www.whatloveisthis.tv. There you will find the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, which documents the real-life stories told firsthand of those who were lifted out of the culture of polygamy through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Also, free of charge to you is the booklet, Is Polygamy Biblical? It explores plural marriage in the context of God's Word and answers questions like, did God ever command polygamy? Is it part of God's plan? While you are at our website, make sure to take advantage of the archived episodes of this program, which can stream on demand directly to your computer. There are more than 100 shows to choose from. And if someone you know is unable to view this program via live broadcast, recommend that they visit this same website every Thursday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time to watch this show through live streaming video. Simply follow the links to the live streaming video page. If you are watching live tonight, we invite you to call us as we open our phone lines. The number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. Now, back to Polygamy, What Love Is This? With our host, Doris Hansen.
Okay, we're opening up our telephone lines now. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. When we answer the telephone, please turn your TV volume down. And those who don't allow a two-way conversation will be disconnected. And you know, I don't have to just threaten it. I do that. In case you watched the show in the past, you will know that we do that. We do want a two-way dialogue, but we would love to hear from you. If there's people out there in a polygamy group, if you've left the group, or if you're still in the group, you don't have to say who you are, but if you have an opinion about all this, please call in. If you have an opinion about what's happened with Warren Jeffs, please call in. If you disagree with something we've said, please call in and let's hear. We just want to have a nice, calm, two-way conversation, however, when you do call. Now, we have another off-the-air comment. It said, the Salt Lake Tribune incorrectly stated that Jeffs quoted biblical scripture. I'm not familiar with whatever that is. I don't know if our caller would want to call back and talk about it and tell us what scripture they quoted and how he incorrectly stated it, because we'd be interested in knowing that, but that certainly wouldn't be hard to believe. He didn't even know the Book of Mormon didn't allow polygamy.
Yeah, for sure. I think he mostly quoted from their own scriptures, the Book of Mormon.
The Book of Mormon.
I think that probably is a mistake.
Okay. So if the caller who called that in wants to call in and be more precise, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, we have line 3, Sarah calling in Ogden. Hello, Sarah? Sarah? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Sarah? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Sarah, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sarah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, just barely.
Okay. It's as loud as it can go, as far as I can tell. What's your question?
I don't have a question. I have a comment.
Okay.
My sister and I are sitting here watching you. We commend you for what you have to say because it's true. And we've enjoyed listening to you. That's all.
Well, thank you very much,
thank
Sarah.
You.
We appreciate the
You're
phone
call. Welcome.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, well, that's nice to hear. Okay, we have line 1, Mike calling in Salt Lake City. Hello, Mike.
Yes, how are you doing, Doris? God bless you.
Thank you. We're doing well.
I have a comment, too. A couple of weeks ago, I saw that lady that was in a polygamous group, and she was talking about being raped at a young age and tied to a bedpost and all that she went through and her family and her mother. And I was watching that, and I had to go into the room because it brought me to tears, because I am a God-fearing man, and to see what she went through belonging to that ungodly doctrine just tore me up. And another thing, Warren Jeffs, where they're putting him right now, he's gonna go into a polygamous group in prison. And I know the culture there because I minister to people that come out of it. Mm-hmm. And these guys, what they do to child molesters and pedophiles before they take them out is ungodly. What one ungodly man will do to another is incredible. And he's going into the pit of hell. And these guys are his judge and jury. And in a few years, if he doesn't make it through it, he's going to wish he was dead, because these people, when they take care of men like him, they become gods. And I want to thank you for everything you've done in bringing us into the light. And you're doing a great job. And God has called you to do this, and you're very blessed.
Thank you.
And he will continue to strengthen you, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you are contending for the faith.
Thank you, Mike.
And I appreciate what you're doing. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And a comment about that. We would hope, we know that the prison is not going to be easy for anybody, of course. But we would hope that during this time, Warren Jeffs would really seek God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he does, and if he repents, true godly repentance, God will forgive him.
Absolutely. There's nothing the blood of Christ does not cover. And so that would be my prayer, that he would do that and find the truth, find the Lord. And, you know, we don't wish evil on someone because of their evil. I mean, that's been vindictive.
Yeah. No, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what to do. And he also mentioned the pain that this girl that he saw interviewed. And I just thought about, you know, the lost boys, how there were so many, hundreds and hundreds of lost boys kicked out in 2004 and 5 and during that period mm-hmm. of time by Warren Jeffs. And it was an awful thing that happened. It was a tragedy for the boys, and it was traumatic for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, the birth rate in the world is almost equal, boy for male for female.
Yes.
And so those boys were kicked out because they were competition to the older men for the young brides.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every boy that was kicked out, there was a young girl left behind.
Absolutely.
And that young girl didn't get free.
No.
The boys did, but the girls didn't. Mm-hmm. And their silent abuse that we'll never hear about, that goes on constantly in these groups. And they will use the excuse, well, there's abuse that goes on in monogamous homes. There's all kinds of abuse that goes on in homes that aren't polygamous. But that's no excuse.
No. It doesn't nullify the other sins.
No.
You know, one sin doesn't nullify the other sin.
That's right. And on top of that, every polygamy group says, we are the only true church. We are the kingdom of God on earth. Well, if you're the kingdom of God, there shouldn't be any abuse going on at all. Somebody else's sin is no one else's salvation.
That's right.
Okay, we have an off the air. In response to why Utah may not have prosecuted Jeffs, are law enforcement officials part of polygamist communities? At one time, yes.
Yeah.
Especially in Colorado City.
I think they still do have some law enforcement in some of the polygamist groups, don't they, that are their own
I know they made some pretty drastic
security
changes.
Probably. It would be more the word, maybe.
I don't know about uniformed policemen, but I think that Colorado City made quite some changes on that. But at one time, that's all they were all polygamists, and so someone didn't have a chance
mm-hmm.
About that. But anyway, we have line two, Bill calling from Murray. Hello, Bill. Hello, Bill. Is that song, Hello, Bill? Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that polygamy started a long time ago in the Bible, not this particularly of my opinion, and it's good. Satan took, or Cain took two wives. Abraham had Sarah and Hagar. Not that that was all, that was the best deal for them either, but polygamy has been going on for a long time. Not that it's really good, I believe, in our Savior,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that he's not necessarily against it or for it, but I don't know for sure. On the other hand, my statement is that the church of the firstborn, who is the firstborn? Our Savior. So if God, his Father, created our Savior in the Spirit, who created Satan, okay, I'll hang up and let you respond to that.
Well, I'm not sure what your question is. Who created Satan?
Well, I just made a statement, and then I said, you can tell me what you think about the church of the firstborn, who is our Savior, and God the Father created, if our Savior is the firstborn, the church of the firstborn is his church, and so who created Satan?
God created Satan, and Jesus Christ is God. Satan is not Jesus' brother. Jesus is not created. The firstborn does not mean born first. If you'd look in your concordance, you would discover that. It means who has the preeminence, who is the top of what is important, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. So the Church of Jesus Christ, being Church of the Firstborn, the way it talks about it in the Bible, just means that it's His church. Did you have something you needed to say?
Well, just there is some misunderstanding about all of that. Angels are actually a different realm. You know, you've got God, Jesus Christ, you've got Jesus, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Those three existed outside of time, and they were not created. Jesus Christ created everything seen and unseen. And I think there's some confusion, about Jesus and Satan being brothers, mm-hmm. and Jesus being the firstborn and all of that kind of thing. But none of that is true. So maybe that's where some of your questions are coming from.
And
it's just that wrong Mormon doctrine.
That's one of the myths that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. that they're believing in myths, mm-hmm. and they're placing their salvation on myths and stories that are
right.
true.
Right.
And that can be biblically proven to be
mm-hmm.
untrue.
Yeah.
So I hope that. And by the way, Cain did not live polygamy. It was Lamech, one of Cain's great-great-great-great-grandsons, who is the first polygamist in the Bible. And the guy says, well, he wasn't condoning polygamy. He was just mm-hmm. mentioning the fact, yes, polygamy is in the Bible, but no Mormon polygamy is ever, you won't find Mormon polygamy in the Bible the way they practice it. And besides that, God never, ever, ever, ever commanded polygamy for any reason whatsoever, especially for salvation.
It's always been sin.
It's always been
and,
a sin.
And Abraham, it was Sarah's and Abraham's lack of faith that caused that mm-hmm. to happen. It wasn't meant to be polygamy. God never commanded it, ever.
Right, absolutely right. Okay, quickly, we have line 3, Jean in American Fork. Hello, Jean.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
I would just like to make a comment regarding the trial in Texas.
Okay.
The comment is, the very fact that Texas had the guts to follow through tells me that if the Mormon Church was truthful and serious, Utah would do the same. We, the citizens and taxpayers, are being taken advantage of for the benefit of the church. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, Jean.
Good for you.
Appreciate your comments. Okay, and line 2 in Utah County, we have John. Hello, John.
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I moved to Utah a couple of years ago from the East Coast, and I didn't know anything about the Mormon Church or anything else. But within a few months, it was very obvious that I live in a very exclusive Mormon community. I'm a token Catholic. And it was very obvious that everybody knew where the polygamous communities are, and they're all over the place, and I would stumble upon them myself. And I guess my question is, if everybody knows it, how come, and it's against the law, how come it's not treated like any other law violation, such as it was a community of casinos or a community of drug dealers? It just seems to be totally ignored and not considered a crime.
Mm-hmm. And that's our question that we asked earlier. It's been ignored outside of the law for the past 150 years, and mm-hmm. nobody does anything about it. It's a question that we want our people, you know, the taxpayers need deserve an answer. So ask your congressman, ask your legislature, ask your governor, ask your attorney general, ask the president of the United States.
You know, Doris, everyone is afraid to hurt the women and the children. But as polygamy perpetuates, it is just more abuse in more generations.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
So like I said, it is like that barbed hook, mm-hmm. but it does need to be removed.
It does.
If it is not removed, it will continue to be a damaging effect.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Hope that answers your question or your comment.
I think it does, but I guess one confusing part is that, like I said, I live amongst all Mormons, and none of those are in favor of polygamy either. They're you know, members of the mainstream church.
Right.
And so, and I don't know any FLDS members, so I guess the really confusing part for me is why the church itself doesn't get more involved.
We've talked about that before. They just want to keep it at arm's length. They would just rather ignore it and hope that it'll go away. So they won't touch it.
Good comment.
Yes, thank you. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the program, and there's other calls coming in. I particularly want to thank, there's a website called myeldorado.net, www.myeldorado.net, and they put out a newspaper called The El Dorado Success. I met the editors and the owners of the newspaper when I went down to El Dorado during the 2008 rescue attempt. They graciously allowed me to use the picture of Warren Jeffs that we've shown on the screen tonight and have helped me with lots of information. So I'd like to thank them especially for all the great help they are and all the news that they do feed to me from time to time. Geez, I don't know if we dare take any of these calls. We're getting so close to the end. Line 1, Anonymous, is calling, and Line 3, Tiffany in Payson, is calling. We don't have time to take your calls, but if you would leave your information with the operator and your phone number, I would be happy to call you back and answer a question or a comment on a show perhaps in the future, or I will call you personally and talk to you. Kay, thank you again for coming to the show. Thank our viewers for viewing, and we do appreciate your watching the show. You know, some of our feedback from the show is encouraging and thankful, and some is nasty and insulting and name-calling, and others are from just plain uneducated people who frantically are trying to defend their unbiblical beliefs. Then there are the arrogant ones who, with the wave of their hand, they just dismiss us as having nothing to do but mock other people's beliefs. They rhetorically remind us that this country does allow freedom of religion, and that to speak against someone else's beliefs is pure bigotry. And most of these remarks come from men, although I've had some pretty nasty remarks from women too. But many of the men have a condescending attitude, probably because I'm a mere female with no priesthood authority, so what the heck could I know? But this isn't about bigotry. It isn't about mocking other people's beliefs or who is male or female. This is about truth. What kind of person will knowingly allow others to follow Satan's lies right straight into hell? Yes, you do have the right to believe however you want, but no one has the right to act against the law in the name of religion. Go ahead and believe what you want, but don't abuse others in the process. Don't take away their freedoms. Don't tell people that God has commanded something unless you can personally prove that He has commanded it. And God says our proof is in the Bible and nowhere else. It isn't bigotry to refer people to biblical truths and compare truth with myths, and that's what we do here. To rely on Joseph Smith or the leader of your group or anyone else is nothing short of spiritual suicide, and please know that eternal life depends not on celestial marriage but only on Jesus Christ. He died for our sins on the cross, for all of our sins. Your works for eternal life were finished by Him. Rejecting this is rejecting Him. Don't do it. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.